Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
There's a question that was asked from one of the listeners. From Proverbs, there's a scripture that says, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, and blasphemies." And since the heart bears these things, the word proceedeth also means that they are birthed out of the heart. How did these things enter in the heart in the first place?
Good question. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so without God, all of us have the proclivity to do wicked works and evil things. And if we ever move outside of God, then we would fulfill those things. So therefore, when you see men, women doing things that are wicked and evil, it's because of that seed that is in their heart that is evil and wicked without the cleansing of God. And so it's easy to do that because they're pulling from a wicked and evil source. That's why David, when he realized that he had tapped into that wickedness in his heart, when he left the covering of God, he had to cry out unto God. And he said, "Wash me, O God, clean me, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." If we don't stay hidden in Christ, all of us have the propensity to do evil and wicked works, murdering and lying and everything that you listed from that scripture.
Good answer. We thank you for your question. We need to know when God is dealing with our heart, what is in our heart? God is the revealer of heart. If we think about it, in our own bodies, the heart is the center of life. And the Bible says that the life is in the blood. So the blood is very instrumental in getting to every part of our body. And it is the heart that is responsible for that. And sometimes in our heart, there are things, wicked things that we find ourselves engaged in. And oftentimes we don't know why we keep doing the same thing over and over again. It's because the heart is wicked. But God wants to clean our hearts. He's the purifier of the heart. And in that process, before that happens, God is the one that reveals the heart. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrows. And it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart."
Amen. So that tells us that God understands, sees, and thoroughly discerns the content of each of our hearts. Sometimes we think we're getting over on someone or over in a situation because people didn't quite know what our intent or motive was, and maybe we did get by them, but you never get by God. He always knows what your motive and your intent is, and that is what God looks at anyway. He's not looking at how pretty you were when you crossed the finish line. He's not looking at how beautiful you sang on Sunday morning, but he's looking at the content of your heart. Really, what was in your heart? Were you doing it for the applause of men, or were you doing it because of your love for God? Were you doing it to please God, or were you doing it to please men? God knows the very thoughts and the intent of our heart. The Greek word for heart is cardia, and it is the affective center of our being and the capacity of moral preference. Everything about us is centered around our heart. When men and women, boys and girls go to sporting events or official events and they do Pledge of Allegiance, they put their hand over their heart. It's symbolic of saying that out of the sentiments of my heart, I'm giving this pledge. Many times we used to say as kids, I cross my heart and hope to die. When you were saying something to someone and you wanted them to believe what you were saying, you wanted them to know, I really am telling the truth. I cross my heart and hope to die if I'm lying. And that was symbolic of saying that I would no quicker break my heart than I would lie to you about whatever it is I am saying to you. The heart is symbolic of everything that is central to men in the natural as well as in the spiritual. You were talking about the blood that pumps through, how the heart pumps the blood to the various parts, all of the parts of our body. It pumps roughly 2,500 gallons of blood a day. Mm. And as you said, the life is in the blood. The heart is what gets that life to the organs. If just think about it, if you are frostbitten or if you ever tie anything around your arm too tight, around your leg too tight, and it cuts off the circulation, that limb will die except you get that blood flow to that limb. Even sometimes you might be sitting with your legs crossed for a long time and you wonder why your leg is going to sleep, because the circulation is being clamped and you have to uncross your legs and wake up your leg because it's going to sleep because that circulation is not there. If the heart is not able to get the blood circulating to every part of you, then that part of you will cease to live. It will literally die. You think of people that have been stranded in the cold and they get frostbitten and eventually they have to get limbs cut off because there was no circulation of blood. And that's why you rub your hands together and that kind of gets you warm. It gets the blood circulating. Well, that is the same in the spirit. I mean, Jesus has shed his blood for us and applied it to our lives supernaturally. We apply that blood to our lives and it circulates every part of us. Any part of your life that the blood does not cover, it will die spiritually. If you are not under the covering of the blood of the Lamb, that part of you will spiritually die and cease to be profitable in the spirit, just as in the natural, because that life is in the blood. And we need to appropriate and apply the blood of the Lamb to all of us. And it all starts at the epicenter of your heart.
And let's talk about what is in your heart. It says that, again, like you were saying, it's the fountain and the seat of thoughts, passions, desires, appetite, that thing that you gravitate to, that thing that you desire so much. It is your affection. It is the purpose and your passion. It is the endeavors of the understanding. And if the heart is corrupt, those things that you see will always go along with that fashion. It always goes along with those passions and desires and thoughts. God judges man's heart. We are judged by the outward appearance, which is most times misleading. The heart reveals the root cause or the source of an issue. Whenever there's a problem, you got to get to the root cause of it, because if you don't, you will continue to repeat the same thing over and over and over again. And God is saying that I am the one that's able to take your heart, to take those issues of the heart, those things that have been detrimental to your existence, those things that should be in your past, but they follow you into your present, those things that you seem like you just can't get over. God says, I want to come and get to the root cause of that thing. Many times it goes back from generation to generation.
It is important that we understand the root cause of a thing. It's the same as if you have a fuse that keeps blowing and you have a circuit breaker and you go reset set the circuit and the power comes back on and everything is good. But then 5 minutes later, it blows again and you go reset it and it's everything is good. And then 5 minutes later, it blows again because you haven't gotten to the root cause. There's something on that circuit that is overloading it and causing it to blow. And except you unattach what is causing the overload, you can keep resetting the circuit. It will keep blowing until you address the root cause of the issue. You got to get to the heart of what matters. And that's what God comes to do. He comes to get to the heart of what concerns us and what matters to us. We look on the outward appearance, and sometimes we look at you and we think you're fatigued. You just need a nap. We think that, you know, you're stressed. You just need, you know, a vacation. But God looks at it and he sees something much deeper than what we could see on the natural or the outward surface. And God will deal with the issues of a man's heart, so that therefore the next time this comes around, you don't just have to temporarily fix this circumstance, but you can actually overcome the issue. And I think that's what God always comes to do, is to give us victory over the issues in our life. Not that we get over from Monday to Tuesday so we can deal with it again on Wednesday, but that he gets us through it by defeating that very thing that is causing the issues in our lives. That's why he gives us the authority to bind and to loose and even to cast out demons. Because if you just keep dealing with it on the surface, you might get a little reprieve today, but next week, next month, it's coming back and you are going to have to deal with it again. But if you do it God's way, he gets to the root of the issue. He will uproot and pluck up and pull out the thing that's causing the problem, so that you never have to deal with that again. And if you do, you won't succumb to its power or authority, but you will be victorious over it. God gets to the root and the source of our issues.
I remember a time I was talking to a friend of mine and he was getting ready to have heart surgery. We were sitting down talking at dinner and he had the x-ray. He was a funny man. He would do some of the funniest things, but there was nothing that he was embarrassed about, and he was always open. He had a generous heart. But he sat down with me one day and he says, "Look, LaWanna, look at this." He says, "This is the x-ray of my heart." He said, "Tell me, what do you see?" And I looked at it and I told him, "Well, Bob, I don't see anything." He said, "Look right here." And there was a rift or something in that part of his heart. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "They weren't able to see it unless they did an x-ray." And that's just the way it is. There's some things we just don't see in our hearts and in our daily life. We just don't see it. But it takes God to begin to illuminate and begin to search out our hearts and reveal it unto us, that this is the thing that I need to work on. Now, I know it's not always easy, because listen, sometimes when we have to face ourselves, it's not an easy thing. I oftentimes hear people on the television, even now, even listening to the news, and they begin to speak, and the things that they speak out of their mouths tells me what is in their heart. In 1 Corinthians 4:5, it says, "In the time of judgment, God will expose the hidden counsel of the heart." Now, listen, we have seen in the news where people have been exposed. I mean, there's so much exposure going on today that I'm sure before they got to that point, before God shouted it up on the rooftop, he came to that person and came to us first and says, "This is something you need to stop doing." And what happens is that we refuse to stop doing it until the time comes where it is being exposed. Even in that, even though he calls us our sins to be announced from the rooftop, is still his mercy that he allow us to correct our problems by his power.
Amen. That was the mercy of God when God allowed Nathan to go to David, because he allowed David to get right with him. He gave him the opportunity. It's really, what do you do when you are confronted with the truth that no one else knew but God? Mm. What do you do about it? You have a couple of decisions that you have to make. God will make known the hidden counsel or intent of your heart at the time when he will judge it. He will will come to you like he did with David and Nathan. And he gave David the parable, and David passed judgment on the hypothetical situation. And then Nathan, by the power of God, said, you are the man. God has made known the hidden counsel of your heart. No one would have ever known what David had plotted and planned because he didn't consult or tell anyone, but God knew. And that's the thing. You might think you're getting by, but God knows. So what you want to do is have the integrity that you say, Lord, is this that I'm about to do, is it okay in your sight? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God. When they are pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God, your deeds will be right before men, and you won't have to worry about God coming in and exposing the hidden counsel of your heart, because it's already laid open before God.
Yes.
If God is the judge, and he is, how do you stack up then? If I'm judging it, because I don't know the secrets that you have done, I don't know your thoughts. If God ever played the scenes of your heart, the contents of your heart on the big movie screen, how would it look to the rest of us? Most of us would not want our thoughts and our heart exposed before all men. So that's what you want to say is, Lord, clean up my heart.
Give me a
Lord,
pure heart.
Give me a pure heart. Lord, make me over.
Oh,
when he
God.
Shows you how desperately wicked and unclean you are, there's only one plea of a righteous person. Lord, make me over. Lord, give me a clean heart. My prayer is, I want to see like I should, to walk the path that's right, to do the things that you would do. Give me a clean heart, and I will serve nobody but you.
To see you like I should, hey, to walk the path that's right, to do the things you would. Give me a clean heart, and I will serve nobody but you. Give me a clean heart, to lose the double mind. Fine, just lay your hands on me, Lord, and I will be brand new. And I am calling out to you for a strength exchange. I will gladly take your joy for my weakness. Give me a clean. Stick with it all the way. Give me a clean heart, and I will serve nobody but you. Give me a clean heart. I'm coming now to you to keep my heart from fainting.
The song says, God, give me a clean heart, to lose the double mind, to believe you when you tell me, and everything will be just fine. Just lay your hand on me, Lord, and I will be brand new. And that's the cry of our heart. Oh, God, give me a clean heart. In Jeremiah 9:17-9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God is able to clean us, and he's able to give us a clean heart.
God is a heart fixer. You know, we say he's a heart fixer and a mind regulator. He is a heart fixer. And the thing about our hearts, I mean, we speak of it symbolically, but it is so true in the natural and in the spiritual. Your heart can be broken. I mean, many times they find out that people who have had a heart attack, they go back and they find that there was some stressful event that have occurred in their life. The Bible says that a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. You might know it in this translation. The spirit of a man will sustain him, but a crushed or wounded spirit, who can bear it? When the heart has been broken, it takes the hand of God to come and put the pieces back together again. But don't be dismayed. God is a heart fixer, and he will put the pieces of your broken and shattered heart back together. You think, I'll never get beyond this break. I'll never move beyond this point. But we came to tell you this morning, we've got good news that God will put your heart back together. And when he puts it back together, he doesn't put it back together the way it was. He gives you a clean heart. He gives you a right spirit. So say this prayer with us today. Search me, O God, yes, and know my heart. Try me, O God, and know my thoughts. Create in me a clean and pure heart.
I guess that's the reason why I like the spirit of prophecy. And when you look in 1 Corinthians 14:25, if you ever had someone come up and tell you something that only God could have known, and you wonder, how did this person know this? I've heard someone testify of this and even got mad because a prophetic voice revealed to that person their heart, and they accuse me of telling the individual some secret things
that's
about
somebody
them.
That doesn't understand the Lord.
Don't
huh?
understand the Lord. But God put it in 1 Corinthians 14:25 and said this, and he was talking basically about the gift of prophecy, but it says this, and thus are the secrets of the heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he's talking about the individual that the Lord had given a word through the prophet to speak to. And it says, after hearing that word, it says, so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report, that this is very important to the body of Christ. He says, and report that God is in you of a truth. And that's how people know that God is for real and God is who he said he is when God began to give you a word for an individual, not to expose it to anybody else, not to broadcast it across the microphone, but to go to that person and begin to start talking to him what God says about him. And it's not all bad things. It could be the word of encouragement. It could be God just telling him, I see your efforts and you think somebody just don't understand. But listen, you've been rejected too long. But today I'm coming to pluck that spirit of rejection out of you right now. And then there's times that he will pinpoint some things in your life. And of a truth, you can say, God, I didn't reveal that to nobody.
Remember King Aram and was fighting against Israel? And he got so frustrated because
yes.
he said, I got to have a spy in my house because somehow Israel keeps knowing what's going on before I even get to plot, even before I get to carry out the plot that I am planning. And someone said, King, don't kill your folks. It's not your folks that been telling on you. God's been revealing the intent of your heart to his prophet Elisha. God will reveal the secrets of a man's heart when he needs to. He's not going to do this so you can say, God has given me the ability to read your thoughts and hearts. But when it is strategic and needful for God to give the revelation to the men and the women of God, he will reveal the intent and the secrets of a man's heart to you so that you can, as you said, walk in that spirit
Listen.
Of prophecy and say, thus saith the Lord.
You know what? It remind me even when I was first giving my life to the Lord and I was seeking him with all my heart, and the lady that was working with me, we were praying, and she stopped in the middle of the prayer. She said, the Lord says that you have an ought in your heart, and the ought is against your father. And when she spoke it, I knew of a truth that God was in her. And I began to ask God, God, take away this unforgiveness. Cause me to be able to forgive my father. And you know what happened? God, it wasn't the next week after or 2 weeks after. It may have been the next month, but God kept working to me that he orchestrated the circumstance in which me and my father came together. And at that point, we began to reconcile with one another. Listen, because what she revealed is that thing is holding you back. Mm. It's holding you back from being what I've called you to be. It's holding you back. And I can't release this Holy Ghost that you're seeking until you begin to reconcile with your father. And you know what? The moment that I did, that's when the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and I received what I was seeking after. I'm telling you that God will pinpoint the things in your heart. And the best thing that you can ever do is like this. Even with me, I didn't think that I had within me to forgive him, but this is what I said, because sometimes we interpret forgiveness as walking up to him and say, I forgive you, turn around and walk away, and your heart's not changed. But God will give you the wherewithal to be able to go to that individual and begin, because really he's already set that person's heart really to receive it. And if they don't, just as the Bible said, you have done your part. But God said there's some things that are holding you back, and it's coming out of your heart. And if you ever want to know why things aren't the way that they should be, look in the, ask God. This is what you asked him, as I did. Lord, I can't see him, but I don't see how I can do this on my own. Because some of you said, I'll never forgive him. But God said, yes, you will. Amen. And I'm going to help you. And this is what he did. This is what I said to him. I said, God, you have to help me. My God. And it wasn't like we did not have a relationship, but there was something stopping this thing, and that I was holding him hostage and holding me hostage because I wasn't able to forgive. But God worked in my heart. And that's one of the things I'm very appreciative of, is that he did shine a light in my heart. He did shine a light on my sin. And I'm so grateful for that. And God will do the same thing for you. That which you think you cannot do, he'll give you the grace to do it.
And I just want to say, even as you were speaking, we want to say this and put this out to all of you. You got something that's clogging up your forward momentum in God, something that's keeping you from getting to that next plateau in Christ, some reason why you haven't been able to get that promise that's sitting there before you. And I want to say, what's holding you back? You go to God and you say, God, what's holding me back? Now, I want you to know, when you ask him that, what he shows you won't be pretty, because typically what's holding you back is something that you didn't want to let go of, something that you didn't want to confront, something that you haven't found easy to deal with. So when you say, God, what's holding me back? When he speaks back to you, you got to say, Lord, your servant hears. And you got to be obedient to do. If God says you go back and you apologize, you apologize. If God says you release them, you release them. If God says you pray for them, you pray for them. If God says you forgive them, you forgive them. But you don't know what they did. It doesn't matter what they did to you. The problem is, you not releasing them is holding you back.
Yes,
you not forgiving them is holding you back. You not going and praying over them is holding you back. It doesn't matter what they did to you. It's holding you back now. And if you want to be free, if you want to go to the next level, God, what's holding me back? When he tells you, you got to go forth and do what God says for you to do. Dear God, we pray that you create in us a clean heart, renew a right spirit in us, show us what's holding us back from the next level. And when you do, may the faith that we have in you be such that we will say, yes, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Teach us to forgive those that we thought were unforgivable, to love those that we thought were unlovable, to go back and reconcile with those we thought were irreconcilable. Teach us, dear God, to walk in the love of Christ. Dear God, we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you for cleaning up the dirt in our life, for washing away the sins in our heart, for purifying us and making us right. Let the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, and the deeds that we do be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, dear God. Hallelujah.
And this is the word from the Lord that just spoken. Go get your sons. tongues. There is a rift and a breach there. Some of you don't want to even identify with them. Some of you want to just push them aside. But if you go and get your son, you will turn around their whole life and your life will be turned around too. Fathers, go get your son.
America, sweet America.
Hey, guess what?
What?
The date is set for our next Biblical Foundation of the Constitution presentation.
And when is it going to be?
Saturday, October 10th from 12 to 2 p.m.
Yes, at the Martin Luther King Columbus Branch Library on 1600 East Long Street in Columbus, Ohio.
I can't wait. Help us spread the word.
And join us to find out what is really in the Constitution. You'll receive your own pocket copy.
And lunch is on us.
America,
we thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.